Uncensored, unafraid, unstoppable. It's Thursday, May 5th, 2022. I'm Edward Zoll, filling in for the People's Bullhorn, Stu Peters. Now he's traveling back from Idaho. Big meeting, big updates to come. Big rally for Idaho gubernatorial candidate Janice McGeehan. Now there's been a development, a major one at that, in the search for the demonic leaker. The rat that leaked the files from the Supreme Court to Politico. In addition to this, we've got an action-packed show today for you, including another case of attempted medical murder against an unvaccinated child in Michigan. But first, I have a message for the investigators over at the Supreme Court. Suspect number one for any fair and honest Columbo should be looking into a clerk for retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. Now, think about this. He's retiring. His clerks are maybe not going to have a job soon. Maybe they think they have nothing to lose if they commit a crime against humanity, a crime against the institution itself. This clerk is married to a recently employed reporter at Politico. He's now gone to the Washington Post, but he was at Politico for quite some time. It just so happens he's best buds with Politico reporter Josh Gerstein, who received and published the leaked majority opinion, which forecasts an end to generations of baby butchering. Her name is Elizabeth Deutsch, and she previously worked for an aggressively pro-abortion judge in D.C. named Nina Pillard. This got her a top spot at the pro-abortion ACLU, but of course, it was her written work certainly that helped solidify her place as a staunch defender of Roe v. Wade. You know, that kind of person would do anything to stop it from getting pushed through, an attempt to challenge it, an attempt to end it. Okay, and it certainly puts justices who support the end of this mass murder in physical jeopardy. The release of this opinion is no small thing. She knew that, if she's the leaker, whoever the leaker is. The thing with this one, though, she went to Yale Skull and Bones Law School. Her capstone research paper was on reproductive rights and abortion. Hat tip here to D.C. lawyer Will Chamberlain. Specifically, she argued that Obamacare's non-discrimination provision should be interpreted to force Catholic hospitals to perform emergency abortions. Elizabeth Deutsch also wrote an op-ed for the New York Times titled No Contraception, No Equality. Well, she can add no LinkedIn now to that resume, since she has now nuked that professional resume as very astute researchers like myself are coming across what I'm reporting to you now. It's not her master's degree in gender that I'm concerned about. It's her attempt to stop the inevitable. This country is going to renounce murder of children and turn from ball. It may not be a crime to leak a draft majority opinion, but it's certainly a disparable offense. If Elizabeth Deutsch is the leaker of the abortion opinion, she should be stripped of her job, expelled from the Supreme Court in shame, and forced to oversee the coming commission to decommission every single Planned Parenthood murder mill in this country. That is, if our justices pick Christ over the deep state. There's a lot of compromise out there. But this platform is a platform of change, and Stu uses it daily to fight for the kingdom. And that includes the sick and the persecuted. The most dangerous place in the world to be when you're sick is a hospital run by Fauci-worshipping demoniacs. All right? Demoniacs. They're crazy. Not all doctors are crazy. Doctors and nurses, most of the ones I know, they're wonderful. They're lifesavers. But the folks who are adhering to the illogical at times and honestly uncaring protocols of the modern medical industrial complex, they've got to go. Denial of care has become the standard, and discrimination against the purebloods has become one of the mantras. The smartest among us, those who refuse to roll the dice with their life, rejecting the bioweapon venom and crippling the riches of the countries of this world. Look, many of the richest countries of this world have exposed themselves to something deadly. Smart people in these countries said no. They're being punished for it. Here on the Stu Peters Show, we have become a voice for the persecuted, especially when it comes to patients being denied life-saving care by heartless hospital bureaucrats. Look, they're hell-bent on patients dying if it means upholding the 666 commandments of the Branch Covidian World Order. The latest example is a 17-year-old adopted Ukrainian girl who is being denied a kidney transplant. This is by Spectrum Health Helen DeVos Children's Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Her crime? Being unvaccinated. And there's no religious exemption being considered. They won't even put her on a waiting list. She was diagnosed with renal failure and the operation is a matter of life or death. Her Christian family is fighting to keep her other kidney operating, and if she doesn't get the transplant before she turns 18 in about 2 months, she'll be put on the adult list, where she will wait for up to 3 to 5 years. She cannot wait that long. She needs this operation to live. The family is pursuing legal action against the hospital through Patterson Smith in New Haven, Connecticut, with funding assistance from We the Patriots USA. Brian Fester from that organization and the girl's mother, Jenna Compa, join us now. God bless you for fighting for this. You fight for your own family, but you're fighting for every single patient out there who's facing the same circumstance. Can you give us an update of what's happening?
Sure. Thank you, Edward, for having us on the show. It is absolutely horrendous what is happening, and evil, as you said. You rightly identified it as part of the 666 commandments. It is just despicable that you would deny life-saving critical medical treatment to this young girl. As you mentioned, she was adopted from the Ukraine. I'll let, you know, Jenna tell that story in a little bit more detail. But we are funding the litigation against the hospital, Helen DeVos, Spectrum Health, Children's Hospital in Michigan. And the fundraising goal is $50,000. Unfortunately, we have not even come close to that. This story has been suppressed, has been censored, even with Mr. Musk buying Twitter. We are heavily censored on all platforms. So you can go to wethepatriotsusa.org, and right on the homepage, you see a flyer, a poster for the 17-year-old in need of a kidney transplant. You just click on that and you can make a donation. This is a matter of life and death. As you mentioned at the outset, if she doesn't get placed on the adult transplant list by July when she turns 18, she could be waiting years, and she may not have years.
Ms. Compo, can you share me a bit about what's happening with your daughter? And it is your daughter. It might be adopted, but you know, it's part of the family. Anybody who adopts someone, you took a chance to take responsibility and accountability and loving this young girl. Can you tell me what the hospital is doing to her?
Yes. Well, a little bit of background. We brought her home from Ukraine last June after a 2-year adoption process. And we were aware of some issues with her kidney, but needed help with diagnostics. And so we connected with specialists at DeVos right away. And she was diagnosed with the end-stage renal disease and started dialysis last August. Overall, she's held her own with those treatments. That's been helpful. And the prognosis is that short of a miracle, which we are praying for, the only solution to her issues is to have a kidney transplant. And so it's our desire to move forward and be able to have her get the treatment that she needs, and that she and all of the others who trusted us with her in Ukraine, you know, they're expecting a standard of care that is being held back right now, frankly.
Now, is it the direct doctor or some bureaucrats? Do you know the name of these people that are denying her the care? Like, what have they said to you? Because obviously, it sounds like your daughter would be considered among those who are of a, you know, of a risk factor if they were to take this vaccine or any of these other things. They should be exempt. Definitely deserve a religious exemption, especially at in a state like Michigan. Plenty of Christians there are fighting for this. What have they told you directly? Because it sounds like someone actually told you that they wouldn't be able to help with any of this until she took the clot shot.
Yes. Basically, the first pressure and the first threat of being reported to Child Protective Services was spoken by her kidney specialist last fall in October when I declined a flu shot. And then it was quickly stated that that was considered non-compliance with the list of things that are required to even be evaluated for the transplant list. And so we started asking questions about, could we get a written copy of this protocol? And it was just not provided for us. And so we started looking at other facilities and such. And yes, they did finally report us to Child Protective Services a few weeks ago. And yeah, we can continue from there.
Well, with CPS, I mean, the only reason they would report someone to CPS is if they're trying to, again, get the child removed. They're reporting for abuse. Clearly, this was not just a threat, but a direct attack on your family. Because for CPS to come into your home over something like this, I don't want to make an assumption. I'm not going to ask. But if the CPS agent comes in, they might ask about vaccination status for the other children and other decisions you've made as a parent that you have the right to do as an American, especially as a Christian, to impart your beliefs upon your children, train them up in the way they must go. CPS coming in, what is this hospital doing? They're supposed to be taking care of your daughter, not trying to rip her away from you. Now, with regard to the waiting list, you said here that if there is an exemption granted, is that the route, for example? Have you tried to pursue getting a religious exemption from this, and then at least she gets then on the wait list, or goes right into getting a kidney? Has this been pursued?
As early as last August, that was when I actually first spoke with a pediatrician there at the facility. And the subject of vaccines was brought up, and I declined at that point also, and on religious grounds, and then some. And in this whole time, I've never been offered any kind of form to fill out for a religious exemption. All of our statements and questions have just been completely disregarded.
Well, I've reached out to the hospital, Ms. Compo. I've reached out to the hospital, and I am praying alongside you for a miracle. I've reached out to the board of directors of that hospital, who claim to be Christian, who claim to be people that would respect our beliefs, okay, specifically, okay, when it comes to the vaccine and our choice if we want to take this medical intervention or avoid it, and avoid it for our children too. Also, I'll be placing in the description a number that the audience here can call to question, to ask, and hopefully put some good pressure, a little nudge to our brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope, pushes this over the line. Also, we will be putting a link to your fundraiser in the description too. But Ms. Compo, what is your message to the hospital directly? Because I have a feeling they will watch this. What is your message to them directly? Because maybe you haven't gotten to talk to the head of the hospital yet. I have a feeling their secretary or their PR specialist will be giving them this video.
Yes, I have had the opportunity to speak with people in both the patient relations committee and the ethics committee. And I just encourage each person there in those in that facility to, first of all, educate themselves on the vaccines, and also educate themselves on religious rights. Because people need to be able to make decisions with informed consent. And when someone brings up a religious conviction as a reason for their objection, it should be simply immediately respected. And it's unfortunate that that hasn't been the case. And I would just encourage them to look again at their own patient rights pamphlet, which lists in part that they will not deny treatment on the basis of someone's religious beliefs. And it's interesting, I just noticed over the last few days that that particular component of religious rights is not listed in some of the other forms that we have been presented with as we've gone through our daughter's treatments. It's interesting that religious rights are notably left out of some of those more personal papers.
Well, Ms. Compo, I'll be praying along with you. I know the Stu Peters Show audience will be too. We're a family here. We're a family of action. We're going to go to bat for you. We're going to fight for you and fight for the rights of your daughter. Look, I will not rest until this hospital acquiesces. As soon as I leave this interview, I'm getting on the phone and I'm going to not harass, but put good pressure toward people who should know better. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ms. Compo and Mr. Festa. It's been a pleasure hearing your story.
Thank you so much for having us. And can I just say one last thing before we go? This precedent, I am an attorney. I'm not Jenna's attorney, but I do want to talk about the legal precedent that this case will set and why it's so important. This case will set a legal precedent. It is our goal to set a legal precedent that you will never be able to be denied any kind of medical care because of your vaccination status, or in this case, your clot shot status. You will never be denied emergency treatment or any other surgery, anything you may need, because even if an organ transplant doesn't apply to you in your situation, in your family, it's likely at some point you're going to need some kind of medical treatment. And we cannot let this stand, that a hospital has a right to say, because of your religious beliefs, because you rejected one or more shots, that you don't get that treatment. So I just wanted to say why this is so important to support this case. Go to wethepatriotsusa.org. And thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. It's wise words, Mr. Fester. I think when it comes to the rights that you seek to defend, we as Americans, this country, we have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights, all these things that seem to be completely forgotten in this era. I don't want to go to a hospital fearing that the doctors and the nurses are going to try to work against me and my will for my children, the people that I'm responsible for. I do not accept that this is the best course of action for the hospitals to control us and to make the decisions for us. And we are going to fight alongside you to rectify this wrong. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin Boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil, and I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Resist. Go to vaccine-police.com. Forget the Wu Flu. Back the blue. Vaccine-police.com.
The political purge of our military is underway. If you're a conservative, you're a Christian, if you're someone who's refusing to roll the dice with your life with the bioweapon jab, guess what? There's not a place for you anymore in the military. And on top of that, the leadership who's acquiesced, who's compromised, who's willing to not take any care to what the opinions, advice, expertise of their soldiers, officers, warrant officers under them, they've started actually going on the offense. One base where this has become the norm is Fort Benning, Georgia. This is home to the Rangers, home to Ranger training, airborne, air assault. Many things are trained out of Fort Benning. A lot of some of the best soldiers we have in the U.S. military go through training there. We had a serious situation that occurred a few weeks ago. Captain Seth Ritter, he was swatted in the military sense. Major General Phil Donahue, the commanding general of this base, decided to get this man committed to a psych ward over his refusal to get vaccinated, his statements against forced vaccination for a vaccine that here at the Stu Peters Show, we've shown documentation is not in existence. Comirnaty does not exist to this day. It's not a lawful order. Not my opinion. It appears to be the legal opinion of the lawyers in Northern Florida who are fighting a case for the Navy SEALs. But when it comes to the weaponization of the current mechanisms of power, Fort Benning is ground zero. And I've been able to find an eyewitness, an expert, someone who might be able to shed some light on what's happening. There's a very, very important Telegram channel, Terminal CWO. It's run by an active duty warrant officer in the U.S. Army, and I have him here today with me. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show, Danny.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's my honor. I follow your channel to get much of the updates, what's happening to my brothers and sisters still in the armed services. So what is happening at Fort Benning, Georgia?
Well, let me clarify one thing really quick, and this is a common misconception. There's actually a Major General Donahoe and Donahue. Donahue runs for Bragg. Well, he is the commanding general of the 82nd, but Patrick Donahoe is the commanding general of Fort Benning in the Maneuver Center of Excellence. So Major General Donahoe is the person who's been conducting all of this criminal and unlawful activity regarding not only Captain Seth Ritter, as you just stated, but his behavior goes back years and years and years. So what we've documented and what we've been able to uncover is that even back when he was a full bird colonel and he was the chief of staff of Fort Benning, he was getting in trouble for a lot of things, such as the equal opportunity violations. There was a black female that he had said some inappropriate things. We don't know to what extent, but however, she made a complaint, and the Army made those two equal opportunity violations go away by paying this person off, paid them off to make these violations go away. And then he was able to make one star. He went off to Korea. And while he was in Korea, a lot of the practices that we've documented on our page through videos and articles were things that he was responsible for, such as the illegal use of tracking and maintaining video surveillance on American citizens within Korea. And basically, I mean, these are violations of Executive Order 12333, the Intelligence Oversight Act. And he had started these practices. His friend, his best buddy, Colonel Tremblay, who stayed on, and we documented him as well through the videos, but he stayed on as the garrison commander in Korea while Patrick Donahoe came back to the States and took over as the commanding general in Fort Benning. Well, these practices just continued to rise, and we even found out from some very high-ranking sources within General Donahoe's own chain of command that he tried to take these practices to Fort Benning with him, where he could catalog and track and video surveillance and identify people that were COVID positive, and then anybody who had trace contact with them so that he could put them into isolation. We're talking about egregious violations of the Constitution, violations of presidential orders, and we found, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on with General Donahoe. He has weaponized behavioral health. He's used a social worker that he brought on to, you documented that, where he used that to try to involuntarily commit Seth Ritter. And it's really bad.
When he put out a bolo on him, right? He put out a bolo on him and also had the MPs stop him and his family and his kids outside of the hospital, about a couple blocks over, I believe I was reading on your channel. And these MPs, they thought they were dealing potentially with a security risk, an issue that could be a major security problem on the base. It was the time when you had the conference of colonels, I believe, and also the sniper competition. Both those two were going on at the time. I spoke to some people involved in those competitions that day. So the MPs were already a little bit on edge. They were sent to intercept Captain Ritter as he was leaving the hospital. His lawyer had got him freed. And his family with him, and the MPs are stopping him, holding him. You know, this is something they're treating him like as if he was a terrorist. This was all because of Major General Donahoe. Now, Major General Donahoe, what you're describing here are honestly just disgusting actions, not representative of a soldier in the United States military, at least not the Army I served in and the Army you still serve in. It's still the same Army values, right? This still the same oath of enlistment.
It's supposed to be.
Right? Supposed to be. My question is this surveillance, because I believe one of the posts that you were bringing attention to is he's very active on Twitter. Is that correct? Major General Donahoe is very active.
And he's locked his account down now.
What's that?
Yeah, he locked his account down. He's been very vocal. He's gotten in trouble. He's had articles written on him by Breitbart and Fox News for his behavior on Twitter. Just conduct unbecoming. And he got in trouble for it. In an article we just released back in August last year, so August 2021, they had a ceremony, a big ceremony for a soldier who was lynched in 1941. It was a heinous act during World War II times. They wanted to memorialize him. But during this time, they were so embarrassed by General Donahoe's behavior that they remanded him to his quarters. So they made him stay in his house, and they had the deputy commanding general of TRADOC, Lieutenant General Ted Martin, fly in instead to host this ceremony because they did not want him to appear publicly. So they left him in command, even though his behavior was beyond the pale, right? Just absolute embarrassment to the Army. And there's a reason for that. The reason is because he's a made man. And this isn't conspiratorial. This is a known fact. While he was in Korea, the reason he was able to continue to accelerate and promote was because he was part of General Abrams, the Abrams, Robert Abrams' clique. So the Abrams clique is a real thing. And if you're a part of that clique, you're untouchable. You're a made man. Well, he's been forced into retirement now because his behavior has caused so many issues, but he's still not being touched for punishment. So he's committed all these violations. He's done all of these things, committed predatory acts on Twitter towards young female officers, blatantly broken regulations, both Army and TRADOC regulations. And yet he is untouchable because he is part of Abrams' clique.
Well, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It sounds a lot like the Freemason cliques I had to deal with when I was in. I'm not sure if you had any run-ins with those folks. The Swinger Rings, Fort Bragg, there's a certain lieutenant colonel who got in a lot of trouble for his wife using the FRG as a recruitment zone for swinging clubs. Young soldiers shouldn't have to deal with these things. It's ridiculous. Get rid of it. It's disgusting. But Danny, you're an active duty warrant officer, and I just want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for sticking it out, because the fight you're making, Danny, the stand you're taking for so many soldiers. You have no idea. I have a lot of friends still in, and they're afraid to pop up their head, to talk out. I would consider be a senior leader in this respect. So tell me, what is happening to our soldiers who are still resisting?
So people need to understand the context of this. I'm not an expert on this because I've been in for 20 years, and I'm not an expert on this because I read an article on social media or in the news. I consider myself an expert on this because I've been doing whistleblower stories in this fashion for 2 years now, 2+ years, and I have the context of having been in for 20 years, serving at every echelon, having been a senior enlisted, and now a warrant officer. I understand what I'm looking at, what I'm reading. When soldiers come to me, actually service members of every branch come to me with their issues, I understand the context of it. And what I can tell you is coercion at the levels has been taking place across the entire DOD for the last year. And the mandate hasn't even been in place for a year, but I'm telling you, they were pushing on troops, telling them that they would be kicked out dishonorably, that they would lose pay benefits, that they would, they would never get a job again, that they would go to jail. Everything you can imagine, every kind of tactic to intimidate, coerce, and push them into doing something that wasn't lawful, that wasn't legal in any way. And they've made these service members' lives a living hell. And unfortunately, when we have representatives in Congress speak up and say, hey, we want to help you, go ahead and email us your complaints. I've talked to those teams as well. And a lot of times they're like, oh man, we don't even know what to do with these emails. We don't understand. We don't know what's going on. And I'm like, it's because you lack the knowledge, and our service members are paying for it. Like you said, your friends, my friends, I had enough, because guess what? I am not special. I swore to defend the oath or defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, just like you. I uphold that oath, and the Army values honor, integrity, loyalty, duty, all those things. I still respect and adhere to those. And unfortunately, our leaders do not. Our leaders are throwing them under the bus. Now, we have a lot of good leaders. There are. I don't want to misrepresent. We still have a lot of good leaders, but there's not enough being done to fight back against these bad ones.
Well, Danny, you're taking an honorable stand. And I stand with you, brother, and I swear an oath to not forget you folks who are still in fighting, you soldiers who are still in standing for the military, the country that I love, the country I became a citizen of. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. And everyone, if you want to check out Danny's work, terminal_CWO on Telegram, here is the link right here. You see, it's going to be in the description too. Thank you so much for joining us today, Danny.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless people like Danny. Look, he's a warrant officer, former senior enlisted, a man that did not crumble to the pressure. It's an example to all of us. You're all warriors for the kingdom, all warriors for Christ. You're taking stands in times of great turmoil. Jesus Christ is going to honor that. I'll tell you this right now, our military service members are facing the same persecution they were facing under the Obama administration. It's terrible. And these people, these demons, literal demons in charge, are pushing our soldiers out, our patriots, our Christians. The military is becoming a shell of its former self. Well, much of this is also happening in the economy. Anybody who's paying attention, you see what you're paying for gas, you see what you're paying for meat. The dollar itself is not worth what it used to be worth. Now, this is going to have an impact on your retirement, your legacy. People like Danny, they're fighting for your future. They're fighting to protect it. But you have to take steps yourself too. Do not be caught in a situation where your retirement is gone because you decided to leave it in a depreciating asset. I'll tell you something that is looking up is a Roth IRA, an IRA, an individual retirement account that's backed by gold and not dollars. Our friends at Goldco can help you with this. If you call the number, 855-647-1372, that's 855-647-1372. If you call them, they're going to teach you how to hedge against inflation. Also, if you have a qualified account, you can get up to 10% in free silver. Again, that's Goldco, 855-647-1372. Be back in just a moment.
Without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The tyrannical government has guns, and as their corrupt, bought and paid for narrative falls apart, they'll be more tempted to turn them on us. But don't worry, you're not alone, patriots. Buy a gun today from GunsAmerica.com, America's oldest and most trusted online platform for buying and selling the guns that keep your loved ones safe. Join the millions of gun buyers who shop there monthly. Private sellers and gun dealers, list your sales for free. No fees for transactions within 50 miles. Selling fees half the cost of auction sites. When you sign up for free at GunsAmerica.com, you get exclusive access to Guns America Digest, delivered every Monday. Honest gun reviews, firearm instruction, and wisdom from America's most popular gun writers. You also get Guns America This Week. Don't miss any important Second Amendment stories and several monthly magazines on hunting, prepping, and long-range shooting. When you sign up today at GunsAmerica.com, you get $10 off your first online gun purchase. Join the fight today at GunsAmerica.com.
Our election system is horribly broken. I can't look my friends in the eye and say if you cast a vote, it's actually going to get counted. I mean, this kills me. I'm having conversations with my friends about why the system is important, why I bothered to serve this country, serving in the military, so we could uphold the constitutional republic. My friends don't have faith in the system. There's a lot of reasons for this. Vote scanners seem to be at the heart of the problem and at the heart of a conspiracy to hack and steal elections. We're still using the same machines we used in 2016 and 2020, the machines that have been sabotaged at times by the establishment. Here's a novel idea. How about we decommission these machines before November? What about by July? We can blow them up as part of our Independence Day celebrations. Hey, God bless America. Of course, it's not going to fix the corruption that's become rampant. The current Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania is bribing voters with gift cards and winnable prizes for votes. Attorneys Stephanie Lampert and Tom Carroll are as disgusted as me with, and especially with their trial litigation experience. I'm telling you this, we're going to be able to detail quite a bit of fraud that's happening right now that's destroying the faith average Americans have in our system. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So this Lieutenant Governor, can you explain this to me real quick? So he's giving out prizes, you know, little gift cards. Isn't this bribery?
Yes, it is. We have conducted an extensive investigation that's related to the two cases that we are on in Pennsylvania. We have the 40 defendant lawsuit in Delaware County, and we're also representing two defendants in Philadelphia as well. So we've done an extensive investigation, and as part of the investigation, we found the lieutenant governor is on social media promising gift cards to people to go and vote. And he is very clear in how he wants them to go and vote as well, which is a violation of election laws in Pennsylvania and is a crime.
Well, in addition to this, obviously, this is not going to get enforced, not going to get enforced fairly. If a Republican was doing this, for example, this might be scrutinized pretty excessively. There might even be a commission launched, okay? But when it comes to this, this ignoring, really, of bribery laws, your organization is trying to hold some of them accountable through lawsuits. Is that correct?
That's correct. We have a lawsuit with 40 defendants sued in Delaware County where there's a whistleblower and a lot of the evidence is on video and audio where the defendants are on tape, not only flipping votes and committing fraud, but also they are destroying the election data and evidence, and they're caught doing that as well.
That's pretty incredible. Let's get right into this evidence. So you sent over a couple of videos to me, and I've been watching them before the interview, trying to make sense of this. So vote scanners, okay, vote scanners. I understand this process. I show up at the precinct, I vote. That vote then to be counted, supposedly, okay, goes to this machine. And there does appear to be some hijinks that have taken place, to say the least, 2020, maybe even before. This first video that you sent to us, explain to us what we're going to see here.
In this video, you're going to see Ziggy, James Ziegelhofer. He's one of the defendants sued in the 40 defendant suit. He's explaining to the whistleblower why, when a scanner accepts multiple different ballot styles, that you can never reconcile the election, which is very important if there's ever a question as to the accuracy of the election. So in this video, you'll see him describe this. I think he describes it well, if we could watch that.
This is a good one. Why don't I take that one?
There were six precincts in one location, and all of the machines were, all the scanners were programmed to accept
any ballot?
Any ballot of those six precincts.
Okay.
Which we are not doing.
We're not doing this time.
Yeah.
Which Jim mentioned.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah. You mentioned that.
You couldn't, there's no way you could reconcile.
So were people voting, if they were scanning in any?
So explain this to me. The different precincts, they get sent, maybe they would make the argument that there's only so many vote scanners, right? So they were putting many different precincts ballots through one machine. Why is this bad? And why could this be corruptible?
You need to keep a chain of custody. So on the return sheet, you write down the scanner number, you have the serial number, and that way you can look at the number of people that have voted, reconcile it with the registration list and who came to vote that day, and then look at what scanner it went into so that you can make sure that all of the data matches. If you're taking ballots from different precincts in one location and putting them through the same scanner, you're unable to reconcile that later. And then if there's ever a question to the election, you're not able to really determine the correct, accurate results. So people in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, have wanted to look into what happened in their election after this lawsuit was filed. They can see the videos, they're on the public docket, and they've gone to the council meetings and they've had questions and they've been lied to.
Well, speaking of council meetings, in Delaware County certainly had a very rowdy bunch, I'd say. Very rowdy in the sense that they're very patriotic. People want to ask elected officials questions about the election they have no faith in. I respect it. They've kept it very peaceful, but the questions are very important. You said that there's been challenges to this and there's been a potential, I'd say, a post-cover-up. Cover up already, but a cover up now to maybe fix everything that didn't go exactly according to plan, and maybe for 2022, the election later this year, and also for 2024, there won't be as much evidence for you and I to be able to find. There was a video you sent of a town hall meeting. Can you explain what's going on here?
So there was a resident that went to the town hall meeting, and she had a specific question about scanners accepting ballots of different styles, and is that actually happening in Delaware County? Jim Allen, who's one of the defendants on the suit as well, answered her question. Jim Allen makes approximately $140,000. He came into Delaware County following the election in 2020. He has quite a history that we could probably detail in another show in Cook County, Chicago. So he came in and we have him on tape talking a lot about not, in our opinion, not really fixing things going forward, but actually masking potential corruption. And so he's asked, one, did this happen? And he says he's not aware of the scanners accepting multiple ballots in the 2020 election, which, as we know from the video with Ziggy, is just not true. And then he says he's not aware that this happens. And then he gives a really specific example that if somebody walked across a gymnasium and tried to put a ballot in the wrong scanner, that it wouldn't accept it. Now, just a few weeks prior, he was on a Zoom call where he says something that's entirely inconsistent to his staff. In fact, he asked that they call Heart Inner Civic and request a setting that would take over 1,100 different ballot styles in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. So not only did he lie about this happening in the past, he then lied about the fact that he's not even aware that this exists because he asked his staff to do this moving forward.
Let's watch that Zoom call real quick.
Heart Inner Civic to see if we can get a universal setting such as that is used in early voting in other large jurisdictions where they set up scanners to accept any one of the, in this case, you know, 1,100, 1,200 ballot styles and see if there's a way to set up a universal scan.
He's saying it right there. I'm hearing him say it. So, okay, this town hall, that brave citizen asked him this question and then he lied. Is that correct? Would you say that he lied at the town hall?
I believe so. Yes. I don't know of any other explanation. They wanted transparency and they were lied to. So they were lied to about what happened in the past and they're being lied to about what Delaware County, Pennsylvania plans going forward with elections.
Oh my, let's listen to this town hall. Okay, you just heard what he said in the Zoom call. Let's hear the town hall.
So I want to address a couple of points. The first was the suggestion that ballots can be commingled. I'm not aware of that having happened in any of our multiple precinct locations. The scanners are programmed to only accept ballots from the precinct that that scanner is designated for. So if someone were to walk across the gymnasium with a ballot from Darby 3-1, you know, and approach the wrong scanner, it's not going to accept it.
Oh my goodness. I'm not an attorney. I'm just a journalist. I'm looking at this. I think you might have a slam dunk here. Do you think you're going to get fair treatment in the legal system here? Because what you just presented, is that what you're presenting as part of your case?
That's just a small part of the case. We've talked a lot about this case, and we have not found one law that was actually followed in Delaware County for the 2020 election.
Not one?
And we actually... Wow. Not one. We there are so many violations of the election code and laws in Delaware County for the 2020 election. We started looking for which one did they follow, and we can't find one. But this is an important call to action for people. It's our belief machines should not be used in elections, that clerks hand counting the ballots. We have transparency that way, and we have an accurate count that way. But people should be going to their town hall meetings and asking if this setting is used in their jurisdiction. Do they have a setting that would prevent the reconciliation of the election should there be a question after the election?
Well, Ms. Lampert and Mr. Carroll, where else can our audience find information about your case? Is there a website you have the case detailing some of this evidence?
We have two websites, mm-hmm. StephanieLampert.com and Stephanie spelled with an F, and Thomas, go ahead.
ThomasJCarrollLaw.com.
Right, thank you so much. The links will be in below. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Stu Peters Show.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for all your support during these times. As you all know, I've been canceled by box stores. My pill has been canceled by shopping channels. They tried to debank me. They wanted to cancel my voice and your voice. Well, today I'm going to pass the savings on to you. You get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 with your promo code STU. And if you order today, I'm going to give you my book free. This book is not just about addiction. It's entrepreneur. It's a story. It's the American dream. It's what we can lose if we lose our voice. And Stu Peters here has one of the greatest shows on television because he speaks out like it is. He tells the news. What a concept. You guys need to keep supporting him and support all of us. The money goes to keep things that we're doing out there in the country to help save our country. Thank you all, and God bless.
Infamous communist butcher Vladimir Lenin once said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Listen, there is a war on the mind of your children. The communists are in the schools. The teachers, with Bill Ayers. They've come into the schools and they've tried to take us by force by corrupting the youth. But thank God there are warriors in the trenches fighting against this, and especially against the CRT gender identity indoctrination. One of those warriors is Sloan Rackmuth. She is the president of the National Parent Group Education First Alliance PAC. She's also a very good journalist. I love reading her stuff. An education activist, she's very, very active, and a mom of two. She's a Harvard grad, too, and a contributor to The Federalist, The National Pulse, The American Conservative, and Law Enforcement Today. Now, Sloan's team is working to expose individuals and corporations who, they profit. They actually are making money off the indoctrination in schools. She's here to detail who's doing it, how they're doing it, and how you can stop it. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure to host such an expert on this. So let's get right into this. What has your team found in regard to the indoctrination? I read here that there are parent advocates who are getting to come to the schools to indoctrinate kids, adult advocates, adult support staff who enforce this new pronoun culture.
Well, it's worse than the pronoun culture. I love your intro and you're talking about what we do is we follow the money. As investigative journalists, primarily, we follow the money. And so you're talking about the gender support plans that are now not only in North Carolina, but districts all across this country. And let me tell you how they work. They are plans in various school districts that will, if a child says, yes, I don't feel like a girl today, or I don't feel like a boy today. These are gender support plans is the name of them. And it is a way to have the staff of the school have a detailed plan to socially transition a child behind the backs of parents and to assign a support adult to that child inside of that school that is not the parent. Now, this is sponsored by a company called Pearson Education. Pearson Education is the oldest, most venerable, and largest textbook company in the world. And it happens to be a partner of Disney. And in fact, to lead Pearson, Pearson actually hired the chairman of Disney International a couple years ago. And now you can see how the culture of Disney has gone to Pearson and in every single state, a lot of the classrooms all over the country.
So they've gone from grooming to grifting the minds of our children. Look, I'm not happy with Disney. It's not the Disney we grew up with. Not that Disney necessarily was great all along. I'm sure you've seen some of the things that some of these cartoonists, these perverts, injected into some of the films, of course. Now, but yep. This issue, right? Yeah, as a mother, I mean, as someone who's trying to become a father, I'm trying to adopt a child right now. I'm not sure if I'd ever let my child watch a Disney movie at this point. But what your team is finding is that there is an active conspiracy between the schools and outside corporations to hijack the minds of kids. Now, what else has your team found?
Well, I mean, you know, you're exactly right, and here's how it works. The demand is created by Disney and other entertainment products. And so by the time a child gets to school, the school is just saying, listen, you know, kids are out there looking at porn already, and you know, they need an expert adult here to walk them through that. When I say porn, it's not hyperbole. It's actually porn. There are books, one of them namely is Gender Queer, that has schematics of the most graphic, hardcore gay porn that you could ever see. And it's available for all children to see. And we know that if it were not drawn and it were shown actually, it would be illegal, and it still probably is illegal. So they're selling the demand, and then they're filling that demand in the schools. Obviously, this is under the backdrop of schools being closed for up to 2 years in some locations, and the learning loss being just tragic. In fact, here in North Carolina, only 16.7% of eighth graders are on grade level for math. While they are peddling all this stuff, so the way it gets into the classroom, you guys, and I want everybody watching to go to their state education website and look for something called social emotional learning. Even in your red states, you're going to have that. That is the vehicle by which identity exploration is what they call it, makes its way into the classroom. And when you read that and you see that, you can be sure that grooming is afoot.
social emotional learning. I don't need the school to adjust my child's social and emotional learning. I don't want them anywhere near my children with this gay pornography. My goodness. Listen, I think a lot of parents, maybe you saw this along with your organization, a lot of parents started seeing what their kids were actually learning when they were at home during the pandemic, during the lockdowns. Many people said, my goodness, this is what they're teaching you? They're not preparing you for the future. I see this every day, Salome. People don't know how to read or write, do math, simple math, okay? But apparently they're learning how to hate you and me, and they're also learning quite a lot about sexual topics in the sense that lead them to maybe gender dysphoria and gender transition. None of these things have any place in the schools. Now, you mentioned Action Step. This is an action platform. A lot of people are running for local offices now. They're running for school board. They're running for local state representative and such, especially here in the state of Florida. What advice do you have and information can you arm some candidates and sitting school board members with to fight this, make sure Pearson, Disney, and no other groomers get into the classroom?
Well, Florida has taken a great leap on this. In fact, if you look at the textbooks that are math books, you'll see that either they are Pearson or Pearson affiliated. So I think that's a great approach. But for the rest of us, we live here in North Carolina, and we've got Republicans and Democrats doing this. So we have to remember, this is party agnostic. So this agenda, you know, money is green, baby. And so if there's money to be made and deals to be done, we have to look for that. So the first step that I want everybody to get used to is take your goggles off, right? Your bias goggles, and say, I don't care who's doing it, I'm going to go after it. So I want everybody to look at their state level board of education. You want to look for something called CASEL, C-A-S-E-L, the largest social emotional learning platform in the country. Guarantee you that you'll have that in the state. That is a Zuckerberg Gates enterprise. And that is, of course, bringing in all of this transgenderism, which of course is the culture of death. We know that because you can't procreate, obviously. And, you know, Bill Gates is into population control, et cetera. I don't think I have to tell you that. So we need to be looking at the state level, and here's why. You can run on the Board of Education. I hope a lot of people listening today are doing that, but you have to understand what the state is doing to actually come into the classroom. And as a school board member, you're gonna have to understand how to erect a firewall between you and the state and you and the feds, because that's your job as a school board member.
Well, I think the firewall that many parents are trying to erect is, honestly, it's a firewall between perverts and their children. Many of the things that are being taught to our kids without our consent, it's an abomination. And what you noted here, there is a fight right now. It's active. It's a spirit that is trying to hijack our role as parents, as citizens. I think the biggest thing I'd love to hear a little bit more in this last 1 minute we have left in this interview. Your organization, you've been hard at work discovering this. You've got the words now. We know what to look for. We know if we hear a CASEL at a school board meeting or even a state level and during legislature about funding, okay, we know what to do. But specifically in this, the funding, you said the money, we follow the money. Other than Pearson, other than Bill Gates and Zuckerberg, who else is trying to fund the groomer empire, the groomer industrial complex in this country to mess with our kids' minds and cause them to be killers and perverts?
Well, I mean, there's a long list. You know, Google also would be leading the way, because listen, education is trendy, right? So there's malicious actors, malevolent actors. I named those earlier, but there's also other companies that are global companies, and just to make a buck, they'll do that. And so they'll engage in developing these products, and they will gladly push this stuff down. But you've got people like, you know, individuals inside of Disney. And again, Disney is a culture. And once you start spreading that out, which we have seen with Pearson, right? We had the chairman go to Pearson. Once you get these individuals outside and spreading, there's no telling, unless we contain it, there's no telling the other companies that this will infect and the people that it will affect.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us, you've actually infected my mind with some truth, the audience mind with some truth. We know what to look out for. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Lindell. And my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for all your support during these times. As you all know, I've been canceled by box stores. My pill has been canceled by shopping channels. They've tried to debank me. They wanted to cancel my voice and your voice. Well, today I'm going to pass the savings on to you. You get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 with your promo code STU. And if you order today, I'm going to give you my book free. This book is not just about addiction, it's entrepreneur, it's a story, it's the American dream. It's what we can lose if we lose our voice. And Stu Peters here has one of the greatest shows on television because he speaks out like it is. He tells the news, what a concept. You guys need to keep supporting him and support all of us. The money goes to keep things that we're doing out there in the country to help save our country. Thank you all and God bless.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Stu Peters Show. I know I'm not Stu, not trying to be Stu. I'm not as good as Stu, but I'm learning from him quite well. I'll tell you this, I appreciate putting up with me. I've tried to do my best this week while Stu has been on assignment to bring you the truth. That's what we do at the Stu Peters Show. It is a people's platform. If you have stories you'd like to send to us, please, please reach out through Telegram. Drop in a reply to our posts on Telegram, the Stu Peters Telegram. I tell you this, it has been an honor. I appreciate Stu trusting me enough to give me this microphone just for 3 days. And I hope that you've gotten something out of this week. We're all a body of Christ, an action, a warrior church, an actionable church, a church that's fighting. Christians, patriots, conservatives. But a conservative without compromise. Here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's any way you can get to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radio!